Israeli police clash with Palestinian worshippers here in Jerusalem al-Quds. Dozens of Palestinians are injured.
A U.S. congressional panel resolution describing a 1915 killing of Armenians by Ottoman forces as genocide angers people in Turkey.
Here in London, the British Prime Minister defends the invasion of Iraq despite growing public criticism of Britain's involvement in the US-led war.
Well, it's 12:30 here in the capital, Tehran. You're watching another bulletin of World News here on Press TV.
Thank you very much for joining us. Well, Israeli police have clashed with Palestinian protesters in Jerusalem al-Quds. At least 50 have been injured. Clashes erupted between Palestinian worshippers and Israeli security forces who entered the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound. They fired stun grenades, rubber bullets, and tear gas to disperse the worshippers who hurled stones in response. Violence also erupted last Sunday following Israel's decision to include two holy sites, also revered by Muslims and Christians, to its national heritage list. Now, earlier, our correspondent in Jerusalem, Al-Quds, updated us on the Al-Aqsa Mosque clashes between Israeli police and Palestinian worshippers. Here's what she said.
The Israeli police, Palestinians say that the Israeli police stormed the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound right after the Friday prayer, firing stun grenades and rubber bullets towards the Palestinian worshippers, and this what actually started off the riots in the first place. Riots spread in the rest of the areas inside the old city, and so the Israeli police closed gates of the old city and gates of the Al-Aqsa compound. A few people were trapped inside the mosque for a few hours, and then afterwards the Israeli police arrested a few people as well, and as I mentioned, 50 people were wounded. The evacuation of the wounded people from the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound was very difficult for the rescue teams and for the medical teams. Basically, what really started the riots inside or in the Palestinian territories in the first place is Israel's Premier Benjamin Netanyahu's declaration regarding Jewish heritage sites after being under pressure from extremists among the ministers and among the Knesset and the parliament. So Palestinians were also afraid, and they were concerned about the future of the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound, and saying that this might be a step towards declaring it as a Jewish heritage site, especially that the extremists inside the Israeli society are still also demanding that the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound, together with other sites as well, be declared as Jewish heritage sites.
Well, meanwhile, Palestinians in Gaza have taken part in mass demonstrations in support of Al-Aqsa Mosque. The protesters urged Muslim and Arab leaders to take action to protect the holy sites in Palestine.
Tens of thousands of angry protesters took part in a mass demonstration organized by Hamas in Gaza after Friday prayers to protest what they call Israeli policy of Judaization of the holy sites in Palestine and its raid on Al-Aqsa Mosque. Some Hamas officials who were present in the rally called on the Palestinian Authority not to enter into any sort of negotiation with Israel.
We send a message to Netanyahu and Barak that Palestine is our land. We call on our people to start a new uprising. All options are on the table to respond to Israeli raids on Islamic holy sites, especially Al-Aqsa Mosque.
Some days ago, Arab foreign ministers agreed to back the resumption of indirect Palestinian-Israeli negotiations. Talks between the two sides have been stalled for more than a year. The issues of the construction of settlements in the occupied West Bank and the state of East Jerusalem al-Quds have proved stumbling blocks. The Palestinians have demanded a complete halt to settlement building and want East al-Quds as the capital of their future independent state. But Israel says the city is its eternal and indivisible capital. There was another rally in northern Gaza organized by the Islamic Jihad movement. The officials of the movement participating in the event said, that the decision of the Palestinian Authority to resume indirect talks with Israel for a four-month period will encourage Israel to continue its occupation policies and will not lead to any breakthrough.
We came out today to say Islamic holy sites, including the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Ibrahimi Mosque, must be protected. We also reject the decision of foreign Arab ministers to back the resumption of the so-called peace process. We demand Arab leaders to lift the siege on Gaza and not to allow the Mossad to work freely in their capitals.
These demonstrations come after Hamas Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh called for a day of anger on Friday during a session held in the Palestinian Legislative Council last Wednesday.
These protesters want to express their outrage at what they consider Israel's policy to Judaize the holy sites in Palestine and to urge Muslim and Arab leaders to take action to protect Al-Aqsa Mosque. Yusuf Al-Hilo, Press TV, Gaza.
Elsewhere, people have taken to the streets of Istanbul to show their anger at a U.S. congressional panel's resolution to describe the Ottoman Empire's killing of Armenians during the First World War as genocide. Angry protesters chanted anti-U.S. slogans. They denounced the resolution and said the 1915 Ottoman massacre of Armenians had been in self-defense. The resolution by the U.S. House of Representatives has sparked a diplomatic row between Turkey and the United States. Ankara has already recalled its ambassador to Washington and says it is considering other measures.
The clerk could tabulate the vote.
On this vote, there are 23 ayes and 22 noes.
The ayes have it, and the motion is agreed to.
A motion adopted by the U.S. House of Representatives Foreign Affairs Committee has endorsed a non-binding resolution that describes the killing of Armenians in Ottoman Turkey as genocide. Reactions came swiftly from the Turkish capital. The Prime Minister immediately condemned it, the President describing it as unreasonable before recalling Turkey's U.S. envoy for consultation.
The judgment on historical events by a parliamentary process was a big mistake.
U.S. President Barack Obama had been against the bill but refrained from direct intervention. U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton had urged the House committee not to vote on the grounds that it would damage reconciliation efforts between Turkey and Armenia. But this could also impact Turkish-U.S. relations in a country where public opinion is already staunchly anti-American.
America made a wrong decision. There is no Armenian genocide.
A key U.S. ally in the region, NATO member Turkey provides logistical and military support for U.S. missions in both Iraq and Afghanistan from its Incirlik air base in the southeast of the country, something that could come under strain should this bill become legislation.
There is a problem of strategic vision in the minds of some parliamentarians. They didn't understand the scope of Turkish-American strategic relations.
You cannot cooperate to work for peace with a country that tells you that they are an ally, you have a strategic partnership, you have a model relationship, and then sort of insult you.
Armenia claims that the killing of 1.5 million of their kin in 1915 was the result of an orchestrated campaign by Ottoman Turks. Turkish officials and historians, however, strongly reject the genocide label. They insist that far fewer Armenians died and that they were killed in a civil war in which Turks were also among those dead.
We have to share all of these issues, all of our common pains, and we have to develop a just memory for the future of all of us. This is a call from Turkey to Armenia.
The Obama administration has already set about appeasing its Turkish ally. The U.S. ambassador to Turkey told the Turkish press that he is against the resolution, but whether this will be enough to satisfy Ankara remains to be seen. Jody Sabral, Press TV, Istanbul.
Well, British Prime Minister Gordon Brown has defended the 2003 invasion of Iraq despite growing public criticism of the U.S. at war.
I believe we made the right decision for the right reasons, because the international community had for years asked Saddam Hussein to abide by international law and the international obligations that he had accepted. 14 resolutions were passed by the United Nations, and at the end of the day, it was impossible to persuade him that he should abide by international law.
Well, Brown was testifying at the Iraq War inquiry just weeks ahead of general elections. He is the most high-profile witness since the panel questioned former Prime Minister Tony Blair last month. Brown was a chancellor of the Exchequer during the invasion. He said intelligence briefings had convinced him that Iraq was a threat that had to be dealt with. He accused the U.S. of ignoring warnings that clear strategies were needed for the post-war chaos. Brown also denied claims that he failed to fund the army properly. He insisted British soldiers had access to the necessary equipment. The Prime Minister was greeted by anti-war protests on his arrival at the hearing in London.
Because Gordon Brown is as guilty as Tony Blair in regard to the war with Iraq. He supported the war and he maintained his support for the war until now, despite what's happened to what's happened to the Iraqi people, despite what's happened to the British people. We had 179 British soldiers killed in Iraq. More than a million Iraqis got killed as a result of that intervention.
Well, Press TV's London correspondent Hassan Ghani tells us more about Brown's performance at the Iraq War inquiry.
Gordon Brown was very much a key player in this war. He signed the checks that funded the army to the tune of £8.5 billion to go to war in Iraq. He was seen as a partner of Tony Blair in government. In fact, a recent poll has shown that the British public views him just as responsible for the war in Iraq as Tony Blair. He came across very relaxed and humble in comparison to Tony Blair in front of the panel. But just like Blair, he wasn't willing to concede at any point that the war in Iraq was a mistake. He often dodged difficult questions and would go into a pre-prepared amble about in his own defense. The panel themselves have been criticized by a number of British commentators for being too soft, for not asking the right questions, and for not following up questions when Brown dodged them. For Brown today, it was a relatively easy ride. He will be quite happy as the general election is just a few months away. Many critics of the war and families of dead soldiers will not be happy, however, because they'll feel it wasn't questioned correctly.
Remaining in the UK now, a British military court has sentenced a soldier who refused to return to fight in Afghanistan and instead campaigned against the Afghan war. The court stripped Joel Glenton of his rank of Lance Corporal and sentenced him to 9 months in prison for deserting his regiment. Glenton went missing from his barracks in 2007, shortly before his deployment to the Afghan war, for a second time. He first served in Afghanistan for 7 months and questioned the legality of the war during an anti-war protest last year. The Army deserter also complained of psychiatric problems during his first deployment in 2006. The Stop the War Coalition has described his sentence as extremely harsh.
Meanwhile, NATO has announced the deaths of three of its troops in southern Afghanistan. NATO says one soldier has died in a bomb attack and another was killed in a similar incident on Thursday. A third soldier died in a vehicle accident. Their nationalities have been withheld for the time being. This year's foreign death toll in Afghanistan now stands at 112. NATO says it has laid out plans to get rid of the militancy over the next year so foreign troops can begin to withdraw. But Afghan and NATO officials both say progress is being slowed by militant-led violence.
Well, you're watching the World News here on Press TV. A quick reminder of our top stories this hour.
Israeli police clash with Palestinian worshippers here in Jerusalem al-Quds. Dozens of Palestinians are injured.
Well, a U.S. congressional panel resolution describing a 1915 killing of Armenians by Ottoman forces as genocide angers people in Turkey.
Here in London, the British Prime Minister defends the invasion of Iraq despite growing public criticism of Britain's involvement in the US-led war.